KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Glenn Lutyens joins us from Focus on the Family. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist there and been on the team for more than 30 years. Glenn, always appreciate the time spent with you. Always feel just a little wiser after we speak.
Well, great to be with you, Steve. Thanks so much.
Well, you know, both of us, you know, have spent time in marriages and, and, you know, I will tell you, Glenn, part of our love language is sarcasm. So I'm really looking forward to going through some of what you have today. And you know, well, anyway, we have been able to navigate that pretty well, but I get to that, you know, that can become a thing. And you have prepared, several questions you might really want to think twice about before you start asking your spouse. And I'm going to throw it to you and I'll be the peanut gallery here and kind of enjoy our time walking through some of these.
Okay. All right. Well, let me start with one. Did you really intend to wear that outfit? it kind of presumes that, I'm wondering if the clothes just flew on your body or what. I mean, it does have that element of sarcasm to it. And really, in some ways, it's kind of a yard violation. In other words, yeah. if I'm trying to micromanage my spouse by saying, you know, you can wear this, you can't wear that. Now, there may be times where I may feel a certain emotion. Maybe there's a certain outfit that maybe is immodest. Maybe there's an outfit that really doesn't fit the occasion. And a person can share what their feelings are, what the emotion is, you know, in those unique situations, to be able to say, you know, if we go and you're wearing that outfit, I'm going to feel embarrassed. And maybe that's my issue. Maybe I need to address that and deal with it. But, you know, I mean, sometimes there are times where a certain outfit is appropriate for an occasion. I mean, we find in scripture, Jesus talks about the person who went to the wedding and wasn't dressed in the wedding the wedding outfit garment. And, you know, there was a spiritual meaning to that, but there also was an actual meaning that there were certain clothes that fit an occasion. But a lot of times when people are micromanaging and just sending that out, that can be really problematic.
Yeah, I will tell you, Glenn, this one, I don't go there. And I try not to fall into the trap of, should I wear this? And my cop out is usually, you know, I am not the fashionista. And if there's a real issue, I will lovingly, kindly share it. And it's usually appreciated. You're walking a thin line.
Right. Another one. After you finish the dishes, wash 2 loads of laundry, put the kids to bed, do you want to get intimate? Probably not the best question to ask. That one probably is more likely to come from a husband than a wife. But it really speaks to the fact that many times for men, they can move from one task to another. And for a woman, if she's feeling taken advantage of or is tired, she's not going to be in the mood for love.
Yeah, I mean, part of making love is joining in those chores and lovingly assisting.
Right.
Okay. I think I'm doing okay so far.
Okay, very good. Are your parents going to stay at our house as long as they did last time? Probably not the best way to word it. Now, sometimes it can be a scenario where, you know, one's in-laws are a bit of a challenge. And there's a fair chance that if they're a challenge to the husband or the wife, they may be a challenge to their spouse as well, even though, you know, they love their mom and dad or siblings, but they may have some struggles with it too. I would much prefer a person just say, Can you share with me, your parents are going to be coming for, 10 days or whatever time frame the agreement was. How are you feeling about it? And then being able to share, your own feelings. Are there some steps that we can take? Because we want to be, we want to be hospitable. We want to be loving. We want to be caring towards them. Are there any actions we can take that will give us maybe a little bit of time, even during that time, to just have some time to ourselves? And yeah, that's not being selfish. It's being caring.
Now, here's a question, Glenn. Is this appropriately being wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, to say, hey, I remember your parents are coming next week. Can you make sure I know, in advance, when I need to be available? Because you might have typical week plans. And if you really want to know, you might find out, just by saying, hey, I want to make sure I'm available for anything you have planned.
Yeah. Yeah. And planned and that you would like me to be a part of.
Yes.
Because it may be that there's some things that are planned, but maybe those are things mom and dad can do kind of on their own or whatever. But what are the things that are meaningful for you, for me to be a part of? And that way, I mean, a person can communicate. I know you care. You love your parents. I love them too. I mean, sometimes that's by choice, the agape, choice of love, unconditional love. But, here's some things that might be helpful. Or even reflecting back on, when they came before, what went well, what maybe could we do a little differently? So you're asking your spouse for that input, and you're sharing together as a team, as a couple, how can we make this the best time possible for everyone involved?
Yeah. And in spite of me trying to be a little sneaky about it, the truth is, most of us, our spouses know us well, and they know exactly what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
in kind of probing in that area to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Another one. Why do you like hitting curbs so much? It's that why word that I often encourage people to. If obviously there's a lot of sarcasm in that, but if a person does have a legitimate question, why questions will tend to bring out a defensive posture. A person can say virtually the same thing, let's say minus the sarcasm, but a person could say, can you help me better understand the reason that you've, been hitting curbs lately? Because if a question can ask for information, generally speaking, if we use the word why, it's almost a statement of kind of a punitive statement. It's a critical statement. And why questions generally don't get us very far.
Yeah. Now, my wife doesn't run into curves. That's actually me that does driving skills that, I'm more likely to get a question like, why do you wait until the last 50 feet to get into the lane you need to be to change? Now, if they're bumping into curbs, I mean, I might ask, especially if it's a new thing, just to maybe not as they're driving address it, because you want their attention to be where it is, but. At another time to be able to say, I noticed you're hitting curbs when you're driving. Do you feel like your vision is, when's the last time? Is that something we need to, it's gotta be true concern. Is there anything else you think that might be causing that? Because, especially if it's a new thing, and maybe even apply the sandwich critique there, you're a great driver.
Right.
I noticed this yucky thing about your driving, but I'm sure by addressing it somehow we can get you back to the level I know you're capable of.
Right. Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right, Steve, as far as affirming, because otherwise, and for some people, are going to struggle more with that defensive posture. Some people can take it even if it doesn't have the sandwich approach. But I think it's best to word it that way, because we're reminding ourselves of the qualities that our spouse has that are good and capable. And even if they might, you know, approach it the same way, either worded either way, it's still, I think, a helpful way of doing it.
Well, hey Glenn, sure. we're up against a break. Do you have more questions we can cover after the break?
I do.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you staying with us. We're visiting with Glenn Lutyens, a licensed marriage and family therapist with focus on the family. Really covering some great content for those of us in marriage, and I'm sure applicable to those in other relationships. But we're going to get back to more of these questions when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect.
YT, this is ABQ Connect.
We are in the midst of a conversation with Glenn Lutyens. Glenn is a licensed marriage and family therapist with focus on the family and has been for quite some time. And Glenn, before we get back into our conversation, looking at questions that we may be asking our spouse that we really might want to think twice about before we ask, before we jump back into that, for those looking for marriage therapy and counseling through Focus on the Family, how might you encourage them to do that?
What they can do is they can give us a call at 1-800, the letter A, and then family, 1-800-A-FAMILY, and ask to speak with a counselor. It may be a pastoral counselor, it may be a professional counselor, a licensed marriage family therapist, licensed professional counselor, whatever it might be. It's not a counseling session, it's a one-time consultation. We'd love to talk with a person. Typically, it's where we'll speak with either the husband or the wife. More times than not, maybe a 60-40 split, it'll be the wife that's given us a call. But we get quite a few times where husbands will call us. And what we'll do, we'll talk with them a little bit. We'd like to maybe direct them towards some resources. There might be a broadcast. One of our greatest resources at Focus on the Family has is our marriage intensive. And God has used that in some pretty amazing ways. I spoke to a pastor some time ago. He and his wife went, and he just said point blank, had we not gone to Hope Restored, we would not be married today. So God has used that in just really bringing some transformation. But to give us a call, and it can be on marriage, it can be, you know, on any number of topics, you know, toilet training, an adult child who has now become estranged. That's become a topic that has taken place quite a bit lately. So give us a call at 1-800-A-FAMILY. We'd love to, we'll have to get back with you, usually within 2 days, but we'd love to speak with you and maybe direct you towards some resources or some counselors that have been vetted by our department.
All right. Well, we're in the midst of considering 7 questions better left unasked in marriage. Glenn, where are we now?
One that needs a little bit of nuance is the question, do you love me? There can be an appropriate time to ask that, but there also are a couple of reasons why it may not be the best way to ask it. Sometimes, you know, do you love me will come out of a sense of insecurity on the part of one of the spouses, almost in an obsessive compulsive manner where I need to hear it. I need to hear you say, yes, you do. If you don't say it, I'm going to feel anxious. And so it can just, in a sense, reinforce some insecurities that may be present, kind of like a Band-Aid when it needs to be really addressed at a much deeper level. Also, when a spouse hears that, if it is that insecurity that's driving it, is that going to engender greater feelings of love and warmth and connection? Probably not. The other reason why it may not be best worded that way or used that way is if a person says, do you love me? It's kind of a dead end question. Because if the answer is yes, great, wonderful, let's keep doing this thing called marriage. If a person says no, it can presume, well, okay, if you don't love me, then I guess our relationship is over. So I would probably be more inclined to encourage a person maybe to ask a question in a little different way, because there are different aspects to love. I often use the 4 Greek words and 1 Latin word, agape, unconditional love, phileo, friendship love, companionship and communication is a part of that, eros, romantic love, and then Venus, sexual love. So all four are part of that. And I think a person can say, you know, when it comes to, let's say, expressions of agape love, where do you sense that we are in our relationship right now? So a person can be asking that to really have a better understanding as far as, you know, where that unconditional acceptance, is it present? Are we expressing it? And maybe a spouse says, you know, I'm really working on doing that, but I'm not necessarily feeling a lot from you. Okay, then let's take a look at that. What might be some ways in which I could do that in a more constructive way? Typically, when people say, do you love me? They're referring to the third love, Eros love, romantic love. And it's that positive feeling, tingly feelings up and down the spine. You know, in some countries they call it malaria, we call it romance, but it's really looking at that. And so if there is a deficit, I mean, a person can say, how do you think we're doing in that whole area of romantic love? Are there things that we can do? Have we allowed the, you know, humdrum nature of life? Have we allowed our jobs or work with the children? Have we allowed that to get in our way? Are there some things we can do to just kind of encourage those romantic feelings again that maybe we've experienced before, but we're not experiencing them as much right now?
Well, I really appreciate you going to, you know, making sure that the conversation is clear. I mean, when you first started this, do you love me? One of the first things I thought was, okay, we need to work on making sure we're both defining this the same way. And
right.
and you did a great job of breaking that down. Just, you know, creating good communication. We press on. Seven questions better left unasked in marriage. What's our next one, Glenn?
Did you water your Amazon money tree today? That's got a touch of sarcasm. And another way people will ask that question is, you know, do you think money grows on trees? And it really speaks to the importance of having good communication about finances. I would say really in most cases, the importance of having a spending plan. I like the phrase spending plan as opposed to the word budget, because people often will enjoy spending. So what can we spend? What will give us the ability to, you know, deal with our finances in a God-honoring way, where we're respecting the fact that God is the one who is the ultimate source of our finances. He's the one we want to honor through the use of our finances, our giving to the Lord, other aspects of that, and how we use it in a balanced way. So really having a conversation about dealing with finances in a constructive fashion is really important.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I mean, well, Glenn, you could probably tell all of us this area of finance, which actually I believe you and I may take some time next week to cover in more detail. Is that right?
I believe so, yep.
Yeah, but this is a common a large part of conflict in marriage. My wife and I have experienced that. And I will tell you recently, we have got on the same page about goals. You know, we didn't get on one person's page or the other person's page. We got on our page.
Yeah.
And set goals, and we're achieving some of those goals. And I'm saying this out of encouragement to others. Let me tell you, when you start hitting some of these goals, you really feel like you're accomplishing. It's like winning a game. Strongly encourage the listener to be listening for yours and my conversation coming up probably sometime later next week.
Yeah. Teamwork, I think, is a really crucial component. One final one, the seventh one. How can I help you with your job of cleaning the yard, or how can I help you with your job of cleaning the house? The desire to be supportive is good, but sometimes I think just seeing what the need is, even asking the question, how can I be helpful, is a positive one. But sometimes by segmenting out, okay, this is your responsibility. I'm really helping you with the task that's really designated to you, be that it's something related to what the husband might do or what the wife might do. I think it's just helpful to see something, maybe even pitch in or ask the question, how can I be of help?
Yeah, you know, I'm guilty here. I am guilty here. I've asked that question, and I will tell you from experience what might be better. And you mentioned it, Glenn. Just get up and start doing part of it.
Right.
And if you're not doing the part that would be helpful, chances are you're gonna hear about it in a loving way, maybe in a frustrated way. But I would say jump up, start doing something, right. And when that direction comes, be prepared to happily move on to that area or chore.
And I think it's even possible. Let's say we do exactly what you're describing here. We jump in and we're doing it. We can even ask the question, is this the most helpful right now?
Yeah, right.
So we're bringing it up. We've jumped in. We're not segmenting it out as your responsibility or my responsibility, but we're a team together. And so we're working together and being supportive of each other.
Well, Glenn, you know, it seems like most of this comes down to just good communication. What practices might couples use to better their communication?
I would say one thing is, and Jesus talked about this, how we would like someone else to respond to us is how we should respond to them. The golden rule.
Yeah.
And if it's something is a little bit mixed with sarcasm, probably not the best way to word it. How can I be honest with what I am feeling, but also be considerate of my spouse? I love the verse in Philippians 2:4. Look not only to your own interest. It's not saying our interests are bad. Look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others.
Yeah. Yeah. And consider others more highly than you consider yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Good stuff. We've been visiting with Glenn Lutyens. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist with focus on the family. And as Glenn mentioned, if you would like assistance finding the counseling you and your spouse may need, focus on the family can help you find that counseling with some, as Glenn mentioned, some vetted professionals that they've grown to know. And you can do that by calling 1-800-FAMILY. As always, Glenn, appreciate your time. Look forward to our conversation, God willing, next week.
Thank you, Steve, as well.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.